so happy just to be with Shannon Girlfriends. Are you guys excited about this weekend? I am so excited about it. I'm thrilled to get to be here with you all and get myself situated up here. Well, and I wanted to say thank you to, and I'm going to move this over because I'm a mover, just so you know, everybody get ready. I just get excited sometimes. But I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm thankful to your pastor and your pastor's wife, Dick Lincoln, and his wife, Patty. I had the delight to meet her, and what a blessing your church has had underneath their leadership for such a wonderful amount of time. And our sweet friends, Brandon and Amy Peterson, you know, good friends, and our friends, old friends, sometimes that's just a special gift that God gives us, some longevity in our friendships. And we're going to talk all about that tonight. But I'm thankful to get to come and talk to you on a topic that is really close to my heart. I love having my girlfriends. I have this firm belief that friendship is beautiful. It's one of God's greatest gifts. And I also believe that as women, we are crazy town. We just can become broken so fast. And I have 4 kids, 1 little boy, and 3 daughters. And let me tell you what, this brokenness defies all ages, all demographics, all geography. I don't care how old you are. I have a 94-year-old grandmother who has had issues in her retirement home over puzzles. I could tell you stories. And if you go through Girlfriend Revolution, you'll hear more details because it gets serious and ugly and woo. But my 3 daughters, even at an early age, we're talking preschool, kindergarten for sure, things are heating up. And I just have become convinced as a woman, as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, as a counselor, having the privilege to work with wonderful people that are in hard places, that there is a theme of brokenness in our relationships with one another that I believe God longs to repair. He longs to make what is wrong right. And it will bless you, and it will bless me if we'll have ears to hear and openness to receive that tonight. And so that's what I want to do. And something about me, I just believe that when we come together in moments like this, it's not just to gather more information. Information's great. It's good to have knowledge, particularly if it's true. But our God says, you know what, when you come together in my name, I'm going to be there. And that my word says that I will transform you by the renewing of your mind. So who in here, I would ask you, could use a little transformation in your life, somewhere, anywhere. And so as I just pray again, inviting his spirit to continue, he's already here, but just continue to check in, God, would you do something? Would you, as I pray, if you know Jesus, and even if you don't, if you're checking God out today, take a risk and just pray with me. Just pray with me. And let's ask him, God, could you change my life? Could you change me this weekend and not let me be the very same way? So will you pray with me? Lord, we just continue to seek your face tonight. We invite you into this moment. We thank you that you're here. God, I pray for every woman's heart. Lord, help us be open to hear from you, to know you, our creator, and to allow you to create in us a new thing that overflows into our friendships with one another and really every area of life. God, we are so thankful that you did not just create us, but that you dearly love us. And so we just welcome you in this place. Do what you do, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I love hearing Amy's stories. We all have them growing up. And I will tell you, as I kind of reflect back on my history as a girl and friendship, as I became a little more self-aware, you know, sometimes many of us live very self-unaware. Well, as I began to kind of be a little bit more self-aware, I see that I had a theme. And my theme went something like this, really early on. I mean, early elementary school, I remember. I would see you and I would think, you are so cute. You are so fun. You are just, you're great, and you don't know it, but we are best friends, and it is going to happen. It's just a matter of time because I have a plan. And I would enact my plan, and many times I would wind up with these great friendships, but I had this theme of control. And you know, you don't think about it consciously when you're living that way. You're just rolling. But that's how I would roll. And so I would just see people, and I would think, you are going to be my friend, or maybe it was a group. You are going to be my group, and I would work my way in. Well, have any of you had, like, embarrassing moments? Just, oh, painful. So I've had a few, too many. And there was one particular one that I'm going to share right now. And it was when I was in college. I was at Baylor University. I'm a Texas girl, so that's the accent. But I was in college. You would pledge in brand new. And at Baylor, when you would, if you were interested in sororities, when you would pledge a sorority, you did not pledge until the spring. So you had a full semester to get to see the sororities and get to know the girls. Well, I was just so excited about the thought of a community of friends. How awesome is that? I love girlfriends. Let's just do this. And so they would occasionally have something called Jersey Day. And they would all wear their jerseys to school that day. And so you could see the different groups. And it was such a picture of community. These are my people. And I was like, I want you to be my people. See, I just get back in my flow. And so I see one day this girl. I'm walking out of my dorm, and I see this girl walking on the sidewalk, and it's early in the morning, and then my plan begins to formulate in my mind. I think, I am going to get to know her. She's going to think I'm amazing, and she's going to tell all her friends, and they're going to ask me to pledge her sorority. All this is very subconscious, but very real, happening. And so I immediately began to engage in my mission, and I'm super bubbly and excited and want to just talk and ask questions, and she's probably so tired and like, why? And she's probably had this happen before. But we're walking along, and I'm super friendly. All is going well until suddenly I run into a telephone pole. Head first. You know the telephone pole with that wire thing that's like really, it was like my head went, and the whole, everything got slow motion. I dropped to the floor. I don't really know where she went. I never saw her again. I don't remember her asking to help me or are you okay? I just think it all. And I was not hurt except for deep in my soul, deep pride. So painful. But here's the reality. Anytime we try to use people to meet our needs, we are going to run into the telephone pole of life. I was not interested in her life. Let's be honest, I was interested in what she could do for me. She was a means to my end. And it was all happening fast, and it was all subconscious, and I wasn't trying to be mean. I just wanted to belong. And that's not wrong for us to desire to belong, to desire to have a really led. But what I was doing is I was trying to take something and grab it. And it really led to an unfortunate ending. And I believe when we do that in life, sometimes we get that lack of focus in our relationships, and it will lead us to a place that's unfortunate. And sometimes it's just embarrassing, but sometimes it can be truly painful. So I'd ask you, what about your friendship stories? What are your friendship stories? We all have them. And I think that in a room this size, some of us in this room right now, we long for friendship. We deeply desire those girlfriends. I believe there's others of us, we may have wonderful friendships, and we should thank God for that. And I also know, even though you're here, that some of us in this room, you've had experiences in friendship, it's left a bitter taste in your mouth, and you are D-O-N-E, done. You hold women at arm's length. I'm not even sure how you got here tonight. But you are here, and I will tell you, no matter where you are in your life, God has a word for you. God has something to say to all of us. And the very first thing that you have to understand, that I have to understand when it comes to friendship, is that friendship is a gift from God. Friendship is a gift from God. And one thing I love, okay, I get so excited about the Bible for many, many reasons, but one is that God is so good to explain life to us. So I love to go back to the beginning, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Those three chapters alone explain so much. But if you look back at Genesis chapter 1, we begin to see the beginnings and even of our friendship. Look with me in verse 27 and have eyes open and ears to hear as you discover some things about God and about us. So God created human beings, that's you, that's me, in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. Why is that a big deal? In his image, he created you and me. Well, one reason that's a big deal is because who God is a reflection of how he designed us. And one of God's attributes, there are many to the scene, God's attributes is that God is a relational God. Before you and I ever came onto the scene, God was complete within himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is a beautiful mystery. But that relationship between them, if you look through the Bible and you have eyes to see it, you can actually see their family home videos. My family, we love to take like the quick family home videos, not like the 6-hour ones at Christmas where you're staring at the tree for 6 hours and you're like, why did we not move the camera? But no, just snippets here, there. But when you look at the pages of Scripture, you see God the Father interacting with Jesus the Son when he's on the earth, and how Jesus chose God over the temptations that Satan brought. And how Jesus cried out to God, saying, God, my prayer is that you would make all of them one, like you and I are one. And you see moments so intimate when Jesus is baptized and God the Father says, my good and faithful Son, I am well pleased in him. And the Holy Spirit present in that intimate moment. So God's a relational God. And understand, he made us. And when he made you relational. He made you relational. It's who you were meant to be. Genesis 2:18 continues to color in the picture. It says in verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Now, so much here. Genesis chapter 2, we are just barely on the scene, brand new, created. And yet God, in the middle of his creation, remember Genesis chapter 1, if you've ever read it or heard it, after each thing God made, what did he say? It is good. It is good. It is good. And then hold up, Genesis chapter 2, it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. You and I, we have all felt the pangs of loneliness in friendship. Maybe it's that pain of being in a large crowd just like this, but feeling utterly alone. Or maybe you're at a table full of women, but you feel like, you know, and hard happen, they really know me. They don't really know me. Or something great happens in your life, or something hard happens in your life, and you think, who can I call? Who can I call? And we've all felt those moments of being really alone. Or maybe you're with a group of girls and they're all talking about the event that they're about to go do together, and it's as if they don't even realize you are standing right there. You're standing right there. We've all been at those places. And so God is making a point here. He's saying it's not good for us to be alone. But what does that mean? Does that mean that God, as he's creating, all of a sudden gets stumped and he's like, hold on, everything was going so well. We've got to go back to the drawing board. Like, this isn't good. I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. Was he confused in that moment? Absolutely not. I believe God wasn't finished creating yet, and he stopped to make a forever point that even when all was well, God said, you were designed for others. You were designed for me, but you were designed for others. God diagnosed that problem, and God had the solution, and it's true right now in our friendships. And yes, that moment was about marriage, but out of marriage came every other relationship, every sibling, every companion, every friend. God had a design for our friendships. And when we think about friends, I believe often we immediately jump to that image of the close friend. And this is a great gift. And tomorrow we're going to really unpack the different relationships, friendships in our life. But the close friend is the one we go to. It's the one that we imagine. And I wrote down a few things that I think we all think of when we think of that close friend. Some of the things that come to my mind: she gets me. She knows me. She understands it all with me. She loves me, the good, the bad, the ugly. That good friend, she's got my back and I've got hers. I know where we stand. There's a safety, there's a trust that has been built between us. I believe that those good friends, they bear each other's burdens. You know that they're going to, as you walk like you when you're not in their presence. That is the images of these good friends. You walk life together. You share joy. You share sorrow. It's a gift from God. You pray together. Those are those pictures of good friends. But you got to remember, a gift is not something earned. It's not something we're entitled to. A true gift is given out of a heart of love. And a huge word to us, James chapter 1, verse 16, God says this, don't be deceived. That means usually we are. Usually we're deceived, confused. My dear brothers and sisters, every good and perfect gift, now that every is very inclusive. Every gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good gift, every true friendship, that is a gift from God, not something we're entitled to or deserve, but a gift. And when we view friendship through that lens, that it is a gift, no longer do we demand it. And rather than running to you when I'm lonely, I'm going to run to God because he's the giver of the gift. I'm going to go to him with my loneliness, and I'm going to thank him for when he blesses me with that beautiful gift. It is one of God's sweetest gifts. So what in the world happened? Friendship is such a great gift. What happened? Well, Genesis chapter 3 happened, and we see the fall of friendship. In Genesis chapter 3, you see God's beautiful creation, and you see the man and the woman hear a liar whisper in their ear, and they decide to go with that lie and to go with their heart rather than follow their maker. And in that moment, you see sin crashing into creation. Creation is twisted. What was beautiful becomes marred with ugliness. What was peaceful became filled with chaos. Our relationship with God was completely removed. There was a wall. There was a gap between us with God. And our friendships with one another are no exception. We live in a result of brokenness, of a broken world. Here in your life, and I would ask you, where are your friendships broken today? If you were really honest, where in your life could you point and say, I identify with that brokenness. I've got some areas that need healing. Because the beautiful news is that our sweet God, he did not leave us in that garden moment. He did not say, you know what? I'm going to start over, scrap you all, and do a new creation. He didn't say, hey, you know what? You chose to live life without me. Well, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Have fun with all that. I know where that's headed, death. Things you love will die. He didn't do that either. As we're going to talk about in a moment, plan three, God said, I'm going to come and I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you hope and I'll heal you. If you'll receive me, if you'll seek me, if you'll turn back to me, I will heal what has been broken and lost. And it's true of our friendship. But I believe we have to have eyes wide open to go to God and say, God, I need you. I need your healing. And that really begins with a confession and understanding of our brokenness. We have to be aware. If we just live clueless, we're not running to the healer. And as I think about broken places in friendship, I think about something in our lives that just kind of was a good illustration in my mind. So I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago now, my husband and I, we decided to move into a different home. Our family had doubled in size and expanded with all these kids and their bodies. It's the strangest thing, they grow and the house shrinks, it's odd. And so we got to this place where we thought, okay, it'd be great to have a couple more bedrooms and spaces. And so we began the house hunt. And a dear friend of ours was our realtor, and he began to show us different homes. And it came to this one home, and you know it's always going to be interesting when your realtor says, now, it's got good bones. Like, just trust me. I see things you don't see. And it was this great neighborhood, but all of a sudden, we drive up to this house, and it was if the house was screaming, help me, help me. The mailbox alone was surrounded by grass that was this tall all the way around it. I mean, you could barely see the mailbox. And the whole house was in disarray. There's a story there that we don't have time for. But the backyard, three killer interests, it was a jungle. It was a true, I'm not kidding, jungle. There were 3-foot koi ponds in the back that no longer had any koi. The neighbors explained to us they had snakes that would go into their yard, water moccasins, and just crawl into our neighbors' yards. And there were just all sorts of vermin and animals. And I mean, it was so scary. But unbelievable, we bought it. We bought the house. And so normally you don't do landscaping. That's not on your first, you know, to-do list. Typically, there's other things. But for ours, this was a health risk. And we could not allow our children to live in this scary zone without addressing it. So our landscaping actually looked more like what can we leave versus what can we take out. We really didn't have to add a lot because it was a jungle. And so our landscaper was ready. They landed on the house the day we closed, and he and I began to methodically go through and pick out what would stay and what would go. Well, there was this one decorative rock, and it was so pretty. Have you ever seen those decorative rocks kind of in a, like a garden or landscape? And it said on the rock, it said, music is always playing in the garden. And I was like, that's beautiful. I love music. This is beautiful. And so I told him, I said, I really want to keep this rock. And he gave me an odd look. I was like, thinking, what's wrong with my rock? And he begins to go over, and this is his job, and he's very good at what he does. And he begins to go over real carefully, and I have no idea what he's doing. Any of you know what's about to happen? Nobody? Nothing? Oh. And he just begins to kind of kick this rock. Well, I think this is heavy rock. Oh, no. It's this plastic house that when he kicks it over, science fiction movie, as the roaches come in droves, I promise you, they were like in a movie, all in a line, marching out of the earth. And he, this is his profession, he jumps a mile high. And I'm screaming like a girl, because I am a girl, but I'm screaming. It was so disgusting. I still have nightmares. And we'd already bought the house. So I'm like, we live in Roachville. This is horrible. Because where did they, still, I thought, where did they go? I'm serious. Where did they go? Anyway, I just had that thought. Because we didn't kill them. We were horrified. We were paralyzed. Anyway, I digress. But that rock, music was not playing in my garden. It was not music. And I really believe that often that rock is like our hearts. That on the outside, music is always playing. And we may be smiling at you, but we may be shooting daggers your way. And you don't even know it. Music is always playing, but God says, I see your heart. I see areas where you need my touch. I see areas that are sick inside with unthinkable things that are not beautiful, that are grotesque, but our God is a great God, and he says, I want to help you. So what I want to do for a moment, if you'll do this with me, I want to kick over some rocks. I'm going to kick over some common rocks, not even hardly scratching the surface when it comes to friendship, but places that are common in our lives as women. And I would ask you this, as we do this, will you please refrain from thinking of that girl you wish was here? Will you just not do it? Will you truly ask God to show you, where is my area? Where is the rock inside of me, that nasty house that's housing things that are unlovely? Lord, would you show me so that I might be healed? So let's do it. We're going to just jump in and we're going to go fast. But let's look at rock number one. Rock number one. And rock number one is that friendship is too important. It's too important. And you might be saying, now how is that possible? You just told us that friendship is awesome. That friendship is such a great gift and a good thing to have. Well, check out Romans chapter 1, verse 25. This is something common that God says, you and I, if you have a pulse, you do this. They traded the truth about God for a lie. Sound familiar? Our first family. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. What gift God? That means that you and I, what we tend to do is we begin to elevate and we begin to worship the gift God gives us rather than the giver of the gifts. We begin to go to the things that God wants to bless us with and we begin to elevate them and really reject God in the process. And what are some ways that might look like in our friendships? As I think about this, these are just a couple of ways it might manifest. There's many, many more. But one is when we become the clingy friend. The clingy friend. We begin to grab the gift. Or we begin to hold the gift tightly on the inside. And have you ever, you know, you're that friend, have you ever seen that too close talker? And like you're just standing there and all of a sudden, whoa, there you are. Like, woo, we are. You know, it's just almost a panic on the inside. And maybe or maybe not, people around us start to notice it, but it's in there. It's in there. We just have this internal trying to force friendship. It's too much. Clingy. Another example of this too important broken place is we become very insecure. What we begin to do is I begin to look to you to see if I'm okay. If I have your approval, then I'm in an okay place. And what gets so bad in this particular broken area is when we live as an insecure person, we begin to have irrational thinking. We may begin to even believe things that are not true at all. We become overly sensitive, and we can get crazy eyes on the inside that may make its way out where you see my crazy eyes because I am just overly sensitive. It's not who we want to be. It gives us a bad filter. Another way that friendship can become too important is we become clicky. We become clicky. We four and no more. It's us. And it's this attitude where we have the gift. God's given us the gift of some friendship. But what happens is we become territorial. And we can either become suspicious or just bugged in general. oh, you invited her to lunch? That's fantastic. That's awesome. It's this attitude of the heart. And please hear me. Close friendship is a gift from God. There's a difference, and it's between close friendship and a click. Close and click are not the same, and it's an issue of the heart. When you have those close friendships, and tomorrow we're going to talk about purpose. We're going to unpack it big time. But when you have those close friendships, God says, I've given them to you as a gift. I want you to enjoy those friendships with eyes wide open for the women around you. Do not just get into your huddle. We got to watch out. I could say more about that, but we got to watch out for that broken place. It's not God's best for us. And really the opposite of friendship being too important is that it's not important at all. And I kind of alluded to that earlier, but it's misindependence. D-O-N-E, done. I am over women, been there, done that, have the t-shirt, not going back. We don't want to be that woman because God says, I've placed great value on this relationship. I want you to understand the value I've placed and keep it in its proper order. Huge. Rock number two, it's all about me. It's all about me. Again, these are subconscious things. I did not have a typed out like instruction manual for how I was going to maybe get to pledge a sorority and included, you know, chase down the girl in her Jersey Day shirt. That is all subconscious. Philippians 2, verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests. By the way, when God gives us an instruction, it's because we lean toward the opposite, all right? Nobody's having to tell their kid, you know, yes, you can have 10 cookies, or yes, you can have all the candy you want. I mean, we're having to tell them no, because what would they do? They would just eat the whole jar if we weren't looking. Have you ever found the wrappers underneath your kid's bed? I mean, there it is. God is helping us. Don't look out for your own interest only. Take an interest in others too. Millions of ways that this could be applied. I'm just going to hit on one. There's so many ways that we can get selfish in our friendships. But here's one example that maybe will help somebody out. I want to kind of draw this parallel between two extremes and ask yourself, who are you or where might you find yourself sometimes? So we love people with the too much talker. The too much talker. You love people and you are so fun and you love to talk. But what can happen is all of a sudden you are talking, you're doing all the talking. No one else can get a word in edgewise. It's your opinions, it's your great things you've accomplished, it's all your interests, and everybody else is just kind of engaging and smiling and trying to be nice. We tell our kids to share their toys on the playground. We need to share our talk. We need to learn how to share our talk, because what happens is if we're dominating the conversation, we're not loving our neighbor. We're not loving the people around us. We're not sharing in that engagement. It's just about me. So as that too much talker, we got to be careful. We got to know our gifts, but watch out for the flip side, that we're not just railroading the conversation. We have to ask God to help us with that. So that's that too much talker. And if you're an extrovert, I mean, God bless you. It's so much fun. But we have got to ask God to help us love the people around us. So that's that too much talker. The other extreme is the no talker. The no talker. And what happens with the no talker, by the way, when the talker meets the no talker, there's a lot that happens, and I'll explain that in a minute. You would think it's a perfect situation, but it's really not. But what happens in that no-talking situation is that for you, there may be several things driving you, but it's that one-word answer. It's that someone asks you a question and you just give them that one-word response. Or maybe for you, you tend to wait on others to initiate friendship and initiate relationship. But understand what's happening is that the people around you grow weary. It becomes very uncomfortable. When we go up and we talk to you, we begin to formulate in our mind, well, I'm really bothering her. My presence is horrifying to her right now. I'm going to alleviate her pain, and I'm just not going to hurt her like this anymore. Because we don't know, you know, or she hates me, or we don't know. We're just filling in the blanks. But the reality is, I believe for the no-talker, that often it's God alone that either is battling insecurity, battling a deep-rooted insecurity that God alone has to address, and we've got to go to him for that, or we do not care. We really don't care. I had a teenager hear me share this one time recently, and she came up to me and she said, "The Lord really convicted me. I'm the no talker, and I don't care." at all. You are talking to me. Someone is talking to me, sharing your life. And I'm thinking, why are you still talking? I was like, thank you for your honesty. This is good. This is so healthy. But wherever you are on that, the reality is both extremes are battling a me focus. It's a me focus. And God says, you know what? That creates a chasm in your friendships. It creates a divide. And I have better for you. I have better for you. I want you to love your neighbor, and I'll teach you how. So rock number three. Let's look at this one. Jealousy. Jealousy. Oh, it creeps in with the best of us. The Bible says this in James chapter 3. 15, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, demonic. These are strong words. Jealousy, we begin to compare ourselves to her. We begin to want what she has. We become jealous of her other friendships, or jealous of the life that she has, or the husband she's married to, or the children, or the, you fill in the blank. And it begins to creep inside of us, or jealous that we weren't invited to XYZ. God says, don't let that sit in your heart. That rock houses terrible things that will hurt your life. Verse 16, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. We want our friendships to be beautiful, not filled with disorder. So that's rock number three. Rock number four, we're going to try to fly through these. We fake it. We fake it. God says, not my plan. Watch out. We want to be authentic people in our relationships with one another. Romans 12, 9. Lead to what is. Pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Now that really hit me. For some reason, particularly this week. As I read that scripture again, amazing, by the way, as you read the Bible, I don't care how many times you read it, new things will hit you. That's because God says it's living and active. It is good. But as I read that last phrase, honoring one another, do you honor your girlfriend when she is not in your presence? The words you speak about others, are they honoring? Do we honor one another? The worst thing in the world is a group of girls talking and somebody's bashing this girl. And then she walks in the door. And it's like, hey, so good to see you. Are you having a great day? We love you, love you. Do not be fake. God says, don't be fake. Love each other. Don't just pretend to love each other. Rock number five. Ooh, don't put it up yet. Any guesses? I just want to hear the whisper. What's a big one? Kind of alluded to it. Big girlfriend issue. We do it. You do it. You've done it. Yeah, oh, somebody said it over there. Gossip girl, gossip, gossip. And you know what? By the way, someone once told me they thought that something horrible they had said about someone was okay because it was true. And I had to explain, though, that would be, you know, maligning someone or lying. Like, gossip is that unflattering word, true or false, about someone else, something that we speak about her or him, anyone, that really would hurt if they overheard. That is gossip. It's an unflattering word. It's the opposite of honoring. And God says, boy, I want to help you not destroy your friendships, because it will. And quick thing about gossip, I believe there's a range of gossip. I believe it can range all the way from mindless chatter, almost like entertainment. I mean, we can do this with people that we think aren't real people, like the girl at the store. I don't know you, so I'm just going to comment about your pants that really need to change, you know. Or it can be the Hollywood actor or the entertainment. Because, I mean, there must not be real people, and so we just go to town picking them apart. It's just mindless chatter, entertainment. Or talking about, you know, have you heard what he's sleeping on the couch these days, can you believe? Almost an entertainment, but then it can all the way swing sometimes to where we're trying to cause intentional harm. Maybe someone has hurt me, so I begin to recruit. I begin to recruit people so that they'll understand my pain, and I think that the more I talk about them, that it's going to ease my hurt. And God says it's going to destroy you from the inside out. It's going to hurt you. Proverbs 17:9, it says, whoever conceals an offense promotes love. Whoever gossips about it separates friends. Now, what does this verse mean? You got to hear this. Whoever conceals an offense promotes love. Whoever gossips about it separates close friends. What God is saying is that we're all imperfect. And you know what love does? Love covers over our imperfections. Love says, I'm going to give you grace. That doesn't mean we don't need to address hard places. And we'll get to conflict resolution later this weekend. But love says, I'm going to cover over your imperfections. Gossip says, I'm going to point it out. I'm going to point out your imperfections, which brings us shame. Who do you want to be in your life as a church? Gossip creates such disunity among friendships and such disunity in God's church, and it breaks the heart of God, and it breeds a lack of trust. If you will talk about her, I know you're going to talk about me. It breeds a lack of trust. God, help our mouths. Help our mouths. Rock number 6, hold a grudge. Uh-oh. This rock, sometimes what we'll do is we'll cut people off. They hurt us. We begin again to recruit an army, or we just get mean. We have lots of ways that we can be mean, lots of many ways we can be mean. But listen to this. Hebrews 12:15 says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. When we hold on to that resentment, it grows inside of us like poison. Colossians 3, anyone, God makes it clear, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive each other. We cannot afford to hold that grudge. Watch out for that rock. Another and final rock that we'll look at in our broken places is rock number 7, misguided purpose. Misguided purpose. I'll talk more about this tomorrow. But one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves to see if we've fallen into this trap, here's a couple of questions. What drives me? In my relationships, what's driving me? And I'm going to give us a couple of examples of traps, broken places, when it comes to misguided purpose. I've lost my way relationally. Well, if I'm being driven by my needs, I am need-driven. That means I need from you. Maybe I need you to approve of me. Or maybe I need you to admire me. I want you to make me feel like I'm doing a good job as a mother, or I'm doing a great job at work, or I'm doing a great job, fill in the blank. And we become need-driven. And if you need someone like that, you are not free to love them. You're not free to love them. And it hit me that that's like God. God, he didn't need us. He didn't have this need for us when he created us. He was complete. He was full. And that freed him to love us so completely, even to sacrifice it all for us. Are you need-driven in your relationships and your friendships? Are you fear-driven? I fear that you'll reject me. I fear that you won't approve of me. I fear that you'll leave me. And when we begin to put our hope and our need on someone else, when they do let us down, we don't just not love them. Sometimes we hate them. We hate them. Also, we can be feeling driven, just desire driven. And I call this like the haphazard friendship. We just kind of fall into friendship. It just kind of happens. Maybe our kids are on the same sports team and we just assume that these people should be our closest of close friends. We're going to find out that God may have a different purpose in those friendships. We better know the difference. We just begin to follow our heart and our friendships, and God says, I want you to have much more intentionality than that. And finally, I think we can become boundary-driven. That's what's driving us. We've been hurt, and it's this form of self-protection, and I build my walls, I create my fences, I determine if you're able to come inside. And God says, none of these things are my desire, my design for you. God says, I'll tell you what I want to drive you. I want you to be love-driven. I want you in every friendship that you have to be driven by love. What is the first commandment? Is it obey the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength? No. Love him. You will follow and obey him when you love him. That's the first commandment. And what's the second? Of equal importance, Mark 12:31. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. God says, I want you to love your neighbor. We've got to love one another. And so that means, God, please help me when I get misguided in my purpose and I begin to go to people to meet those needs inside of me. Because God says, you know what? I actually have a really big purpose for you. That in your friendships, yes, I want them to be a gift, but I created you to be a light. If you know me as your Lord, your Savior, I have created you to go into this dark world and to point people to their ultimate friend. And have we lost our way? What if the church became a place where women liked each other? I mean, I know it's a crazy thought, but I mean, for real. No game playing, no masks, no pretending. But when people on the outside came inside, they were just hit with our love. These women are warm. These women are kind. These women aren't judging me. They see my imperfection. I feel shame. I just feel hope. What if that became who we are? Could I tell you, I pray this weekend becomes a stake in the ground where you decide we're going to do friendship different. We're going to be a group of women who live life differently together. That we're swimming against the current of our culture where there's broken relationships and gone are the girl games. But we're a group of women that say we love Jesus because he loved us first and we are loving one another. That's what God desires for you and for me, and only he can help us get there. But we have to remember, friendship is a gift, because otherwise we'll try to grab it, we'll try to go to one another to meet that desire of our heart. And God gives us a warning, because again, he loves us. Jeremiah 17:5. This is what the Lord says: cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. We cannot put our trust, put our hope, put our everything into people. Now, this could go into a whole marriage conversation, dating, friendship, your boss, your employees, your colleagues, your neighbors, you name it. God says that's not where we put our trust. Instead, he says, those who rely on that human strength, they turn their hearts away from the Lord. And here's what they're like. When we put our trust in humans, they are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. When we put our hope and trust in people, we have no hope. We're not strong enough to meet all those needs. I can't meet all your needs. I don't have the ability, the power to meet your needs. And you don't have the power to meet my needs. But listen to this, verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. If you feel like you are living life when it comes to friendship in the desert, could tonight be a turning point where you begin to go to the one who makes life work, who gets friendship, and he's the one who restores it. But we need God to restore, garden our friendship. Friendship is beautiful, but sometimes that beautiful garden looks more like my jungle in my backyard. And we need God, the good gardener, to come in and to begin to prune and to help make things beautiful and get rid of the things we do not want in that garden. That's our God. That's who he is. And so how do we do that? How do we do that? I believe the first question you and I have to ask, and I pray you'll ask it right now. Will you right now evaluate, where is my friendship with God? Be honest. Be honest. Where is my friendship with God? And right now, if you're tuning out, come back. That could be an indicator. You're shutting down. And God's saying, I want to draw close to you. I want to draw close to you. Where is my friendship with God? Who is my number one friend? Before you have any great friendships with your girlfriends, we have to have a great friendship with God. He is our number one friend. Do you know him like this? Romans 5, verse 10. And listen to these words, maybe in a new way. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still sinners, his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Jesus is to be your number one friend. And if you do not know him tonight, maybe you were invited by someone, maybe church is something new to you, I don't know, or maybe you had a bad experience and you don't darken the door if you can help it. I believe tonight, wherever you are, that God is saying, I want a relationship with you. I don't come and save groups of people or religious organizations. I save individuals, heart by heart. And the Bible says it begins as we believe that Jesus died on the cross to save me, lures me from my sin, my bad choices, this disease inside of me that lures me to do things I hate later. God says, Jesus came, he died to pay for all of it. And he is no longer dead, the Bible says. He is alive. God raised him out of that tomb. And when you and I believe that and confess with our mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord, the Bible says, you will be saved. And Jesus is your number one friend. If that is you tonight, I beg of you to receive his gift, his offer of restored friendship, that you would take it. That you would take it. And for many of us, we've had that gift from God. We've received Jesus as our Savior, but we kind of become like the long distance friends where we just talk every now and then. We're kind of living our life over here, and that friend is way far away. And God says, that's not how I designed for us to live with one another. In fact, Jesus says, remain in me. In the book of John, remain in me because apart from me, you can do nothing. He's not being mean when he says that. He's being honest. You're trying to live your life apart from that relational connection with me, and it's only a matter of time till things will fall apart. And not because I'm mad at you, it's because I made you. But I also gave you choice, because I didn't want robots. I wanted a relationship. And so we want to get that straight in our hearts. We've got to stay close to Jesus. We've got to stay close to Jesus. And we begin to see healing in our lives and in our friendships. I believe a good question to ask is, God, am I a good friend? Am I a good friend? Am I a good friend to you? And am I a good friend to others? And you know what's good about God? He's not sitting there looking for the opportunity, you know, like, glad you asked, because I have a laundry list of ways I am so put out. No, he is the good physician that says, I'm so glad that you came to me. I want to show you the sick places, but I don't leave you there. I show you the sick places so that I can heal you and I can make you well. But it starts with confession and acknowledging our broken places. 1 John 1:9. This is an if-then, okay? But if we confess our sins to him, what has he revealed to you tonight already? What is the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart saying, oh, this is a sick place. My sweet daughter, this is a sick place. What has he revealed to you already? But if we confess it, saying, you know what, I see what you're showing me, God. I admit, I confess this is not good. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. That means no more debt. I owe nothing. But he doesn't stop there. And to clean up our mess, to cleanse us from all wickedness. We've got to go to our God and seek his healing because it's available. And then we've got to pray for the gift of friendship. Pray. Ask him for it. You desire friendship. You have loneliness in your heart. Sometimes, you know what God says? You don't have because you don't ask. And listen to the heart of our God. I love this picture in Matthew 7. If you're a parent in this room, or hopefully if you had a loving parent, you can see this heart, because God is the perfect parent, regardless of our past. Matthew 7, verse 9. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? I think God's funny. All throughout scripture, there's pictures that are just comical to me. Hey, little Johnny, here's a rock. Take a big bite out of that. We're not going to do that to our kid. And even me, and I enjoy pranks to a degree, but that's just, it's not funny. So he's like, you're not going to do that. Or if they ask for a fish, I love this one. Do you give them a snake? Hey, baby, here we go. I mean, you don't do that. He's saying, parents, you're not going to do that to your child. Of course not. Verse 11. So if you sinful people, that's meaning you're not God. You're not perfect. You're imperfect. But if even you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask him. I pray that need of your heart, go to him with it. And not in the, I prayed about it, God, and you didn't answer it kind of way, but faithfully ask him and look for how he's going to answer in your life. And be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you're planted today. So as we look at this, and as we look at friendship, and we understand that it's a good gift, just end tonight with understanding that beyond it all, God wants a relationship with you. And as we go to him, and as we pray, and as we even ask, Lord, heal me, help me, or give me friends, help me to develop healthy, authentic friendship, I would ask you, how are you going to him? Is he your means to an end? Kind of like that girl on that fateful telephone pole day. Is he your genie in a bottle? You've got to ask yourself this question. Am I seeking God more than the thing I'm asking him for? Am I seeking God more than even the thing I'm asking him for? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He will give you everything that you need. What I want to do right now is in a moment I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And you need to know something about me. I have a deep belief that God is not interested in a one-way conversation with you. As we gather tonight, I believe that he is not interested in you hearing information that you think on, or maybe something touches you and you walk out and you think on it. I believe he wants to actually encounter you right now. And did you know that the Bible tells us one of the ways God designed for you to encounter him is when we praise him, when we sing in worship. It's not just a part of the schedule because that's what you do in church. It's actually in this book a way that God says, I created you to actually connect with me. And so as we in a moment are about to sing and about to respond to God, I want it to be from hearts of women who have encountered him tonight. We begin to cry out to him, Jesus, you are my number one friend. What a friend we have in you, Jesus, that's how we sing in just a moment. But what I'm going to do before that is, in a moment, I'm going to have us bow our heads, and I'm going to ask you to be courageous. If there is an area in your life that is broken, I want to pray over you tonight. So we would do that. Will you just bow your head all over this room? And even if you're checking out God, you're not sure about God, just honor the woman to your right or left. Just give her a moment of privacy and just close your eyes as respect for her. But I hope you're not just respecting the woman beside you by closing your eyes. I hope you would actually consider responding to God. Let this be a moment between you and him. And so with your eyes closed, will you, if you have an area in your life where you say, you know what, this is a broken area in my life, a friendship. There's an area that was hit on tonight or one you didn't even say and God just all of a sudden showed me. And you know what, there's some areas in my life when it comes to friendship and relationships that are painful. Would you right now have the courage to raise your hand high? I believe as you raise your hand high, leave it up, as you raise your hand high all over this room, as you raise your hand high, I believe that God sees your heart. He already saw your heart, but sometimes we need to physically stamp it with a movement. So keep that hand in the air because I want you to do something in faith. And if there's somebody in here, your heart's beating and your hand's not raised, but you know you have a need, please raise your hand. Don't miss this moment of blessing because prayer is powerful. Lift your hand high in faith. Let it be a hand lifted in faith all over this room. A lot of pain in this room. That means a lot of healing's coming. So what I want you to do is with your hand lifted high, will you turn your palm toward heaven as if to receive from him for a moment? Just turn your palm. Just as an act of faith that, Lord, I want to receive what you're about to deliver. Lift it high. And I want to pray for you. And one more person in this room with your hand still up, if you don't know Jesus tonight and you lift your hand for the first time, or you lift your hand high, and let's pray together. Lift your hand high. Lord, our hands are lifted high because God, we need you, and you know the issue that lifted these hands. You see it and you love us right where we are. God, we pray right now that tonight and this entire weekend would be a weekend of healing in our lives. That our friendships would look differently on the other side of these dates. That God, our encounter with you would begin such a beautiful, beautiful legacy of friendship moving forward. Heal the broken places. Help us where we're weak. Help us where we need you, God. But most of all, Lord, help us love you first as our Lord, as our Savior, our Jesus. God, we believe you, and now we sing to you in response. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.